Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
When is the last time that you really and truly stopped to consider the blessings of being a New Testament Christian? I hope and pray that you think about the blessings that we have in Christ each and every day. I know that I do. There was a time in my life where that I did not. But today, every day, I think about the relationship that I have with my God, as well as the blessings that I have of being a Christian, to having my sins forgiven in Christ. It means that you and I are members of the Lord's church. It means that we are children of God. It means that you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ because of the fact that we love God and that we have had our sins washed away in that watery grave of baptism. But my friends, also, it means that we are able, as children of God, to go out and serve God each and every day. But also it means that we are blessed with the opportunities to come together to worship and to praise our God in spirit and in truth. As you look to the New Testament Scripture, there are two primary words that are given in reference to worship and service. One in the Greek language is latreo. Oftentimes it is translated service to God. Sometimes it is translated worship. And yet at the same time, when we look at latreo in the context of the New Testament Scripture, I believe that more times than not, it means with reference, as it is translated, worship, our service in worship. And that's a part of what I'm doing today. It's also a part of what David is doing today, and those men who are seated up on the front row to lead us as we partake of the Lord's Supper, they are serving us as and serving God as we come together in corporate worship under our God. There's another Greek word, and that is proskuneo. And proskuneo is in reference to the fact that we pay homage to God. It identifies the fact that we prostrate ourselves towards God. Is that we bow ourselves, not necessarily literally, but rather that we give our heart, soul, and mind over to God in a worship service. Today, as we gather together, there are three objectives that I want us to accomplish. To begin with, I want us to identify from the New Testament Scripture what it means to worship. I want us to give a definition of these things, but then in like figure, I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 2 and think about the wise men as they came to worship Jesus. And then finally, I want us to conclude with some thought provoking questions in reference to you and me as we think about our worship unto our God. To begin with, what constitutes New Testament worship? Well, to begin with, we would find from the context of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, is that saints are gathered together to engage in very specific acts of worship. The Bible identifies throughout the New Testament Scripture, which is our guide. It is the true Word of God, John chapter 17 and verse 17. It is from the New Testament Scripture then that we gather exactly what it is that God wants us to do whenever we come together to worship and to praise Him in spirit and in truth. There are five acts or five avenues that we find identified in the New Testament Scripture. What are they? Singing. And we have engaged in singing today, as well as prayer. And we have also engaged in praying to God. And there will be other prayers that are led on our behalf before our Heavenly Father as we are in this worship service. There's also the Lord's Supper. And we will have a time where that you and I will reflect back to the time whenever Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross for our sins, as well as not only looking outward to that, but we will look inward at ourselves as we commune around the table. So there are three acts or avenues there. And then we give. We are to give as we have been prospered. And what a blessing it is to be able to be prosperous as we go up throughout the course of life. And who is it that is responsible for blessing us with our jobs and our abilities to go out? Our God. And therefore, whenever we give back, my friends, we're giving back to God what it is in part of what it is that is given to us. And we will engage in that. But then also, another avenue of our worship, the fifth, if you would, is preaching and teaching the Word of God. And that's where we are at this segment of our assembly today. But then also, as we think to defining worship, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? It means that we come to God with a contrite attitude. as we participate in the worship service. Well, what does it mean, a contrite attitude? I believe that it means that we come to God in a very humble manner. We understand that worship is not so much about us as what it is about our God. And therefore, as we come before God, it is very important that we put ourselves aside and that we do not enter into this time of worship unto our God with any pride in our hearts, but rather we understand our place is to be submissive unto God, not only in worship, but also in each and every day of our life. And therefore, as we enter into our worship and as we participate in the worship service, we must enter into and continue through with all forms of humility, as well as love unto our God. And agape love for God, as what God demonstrates, signifies continually throughout the New Testament Scripture in reference to the love that He has for us. But my friends, also, as we think about and define worship, I believe that God wants us to understand is that our worship is a focus upon the Father. He is the object of our reverence, of our proskuneo, of our bowing down. We are not to worship man. We are not to worship any other man-made deities, idols that man would have in the world. Taking into consideration many of the world religious groups, they bow themselves down to golden images. They bow themselves down to wooden figures and such, and a world of other idols. And yet at the same time, you and I know, as we read and study from the Bible, is that God is not like these man-made images. He is eternal in His existence. And also, He is the creator of all things. And not only has He created all things, my friends, God continues to sustain this world unto this very hour. And therefore, as we gather together as what we are at this very time, God wants you and me to focus our thoughts, our attention upon our Heavenly Father as the object of our worship service. But my friends, also, as we come together to worship God, as we find defined for us throughout the New Testament Scripture, whenever the saints gathered in the first century, it is to be the same into this very day, is that there must be a desire to learn the divine will for one's lives. The church of the first century, as they came together and bowed themselves before God, as they heard God's word proclaimed, they were looking to their lives in comparison to the will of God, what it was that God was instructing through the teachers of the first century as to the changes that God required of these individuals to make in their life in order for them to be able to properly maintain a relationship with God and to go on to glorify Him continually each and every day of their life. And as they did, so also you and I must do. We must constantly be looking to our lives as a lesson is being taught and asking ourselves continually, how am I doing? Am I aligning my life with the will of God, or am I giving God a second place in my life? Am I really and truly living as God wants me to live, or are there changes that God would require me and that God does require me to make in order for me to really and truly serve Him to the glory and honor of His holy and righteous name? If we're honest with ourselves, I believe each and every one of us every day ought to say that I've not yet reached who it is and where it is that God wants me to be. Amen. Every single day of our lives, we need to be looking to ourselves and to say, and even at the time of which a lesson is being taught, and say, I've not yet arrived, and I must continue to grow. I must continue to abound in my love for God, in my service to God, as well as in my times of worship to God, the Creator of all things. But my friends, also, today I tell you, as goes along with the title of our lesson, is that wise people will faithfully worship our God continually. People who are wise, not just learned, and not with just an understanding of what it is that God expects, but a wise person is one who acts upon what it is that God commands man to do. A wise person will faithfully worship God. And what does it mean to faithfully worship God? My friends, faithfully worshiping God means is that we come together whenever God expects us to come together, whenever an eldership says is that we are going to assemble together as the saints, with the saints, to the glory and honor of our God's names. The second part of our lesson today, I want us to think about the wise men who came to worship Jesus, not at his birth, but rather shortly after the time of which he had been born. If you go with me to the context of the book of Matthew chapter 2, you're going to find is that after Jesus had been born, wise men came to worship him, the Bible teaches us. And yet at the same time, Herod, as well as all of Jerusalem, were beside themselves because of the fact that the Messiah, the Christ, has been born. And Herod felt that this was a threat to himself, and the people of that day had been taught this foolishness in regard to what Herod stood for, as well as the chief priests and the scribes. And therefore, Herod was seeking to put into place a plan to destroy Jesus, and therefore instituting a plan where that children 2 years of age and under would be destroyed, would be killed, would be murdered. But my friends, that did not stop these wise men. Yes, Herod gathers them together in his plan to use them as a part of his desires to destroy the Christ. But yet at the same time, we understand is that these men and their hearts were right. The Scripture identifies in regard to their travels that they came from afar to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They traveled a great distance. You see, whenever we look with regard to this, they didn't have automobiles to jump into, but rather they traveled by foot, or they traveled by camel and other such means of which they had at that time. They did not allow this matter of inconvenience to stand in their way of coming to worship and to praise our Lord after he had been born. And therefore, today I want to urge each and every one of us is that worship, when we look at worship, it should not be a matter of convenience. Is it convenient for me to go to worship today? Or will it be convenient for me to come back to worship our God tonight or on Wednesday nights? We should not worship God out of convenience. But rather, we must worship God out of the fact that we are in awe and we want to know Him and to serve Him, to the level of which I find that we see with reference to these wise men who came to worship the Lord. But also I want to draw your attention to the context is that these men did not allow others to sway their desires. Nowhere do we find in this context that Herod, even though that he says he wanted to worship the Lord, nowhere do we find in this context that Herod ever worshiped our Lord. Also, nor do we find is that the chief priest or the scribes worshiped our Lord, or the people of Jerusalem for that matter. In fact, we do learn in regard to this is that they would have served as a hindrance had these wise men allowed them to have served to that level. They did not do that. But rather, what we find is that these men themselves were fully committed to going and finding Jesus, to seeing Jesus, and to worshiping our Lord and Savior whenever they came upon Him. But my friends, also, the Bible teaches us with reference to these wise men is that they actually and literally entered into a time of worshiping Jesus. The Scripture says that they fell down whenever they saw Him and worshiped Him. It's not enough. Amen. It's not enough just to show up. It would not have been enough for them to have said, we're going to go worship the Lord Jesus. We're going to go bow ourselves before the Messiah. And when they get there, they don't do it. They actually literally entered into a worship. How do we know? Because God shows us is that they bowed down and they worshiped Him. And I wonder sometimes, do we enter into a time of worship when we come together like this? Or do we just show up? It is important for us to enter into a time of worship in order for us to be able to glorify God in the times that we are assembled together. But my friends, also I want to draw your attention to the context of what is said with reference to these wise men, is that I believe that they came as well as they left with a sense of awe for the Lord. The scripture says that whenever they saw the star and whenever they had been led to the presence of the Lord, they rejoiced. How much so? Note the context. Exceedingly with great joy. And they were so pleased to know that they were going to be able to see the Messiah. They had heard about the Christ, the anointed one of God. And now they know that as they are coming unto the place where He has been born, where He resides, is that they're going to be able to now cast their eyes upon Him. And they're going to be able to bow before the great I Am. And this brought them to the point of rejoicing. It brought them even beyond to the point where they were exceedingly filled with great joy. And shouldn't we be like that as children of God today? To know that upon the Lord's Day, two times upon the Lord's Day, Sunday morning and Sunday night, as well as, if you want to count, Sunday morning class, and then also factor into the equation Wednesday evenings whenever the saints come together, shouldn't we be filled with rejoicing, knowing that God gives us these opportunities? Shouldn't we be filled with exceedingly great joy to be able to enter into the house of the Lord with the Lord's people, to bow ourselves down, proskuneo, to reverence Him, to extol Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him during our times of assembly. But my friends, also note what is said in this context in an implicit manner. These men obeyed the highest authority. What did Herod tell them to do? Come back and tell me. Whenever you found Him, whenever you have seen Him, whenever you've done what it is that you're going to go do before Him, come back and tell me that I might also go and worship Him. I'm going to say that from the onset, they might have been duped, but yet at the same time, the Bible identifies to us as that God knew full well what was going on. How do we know that? Because God sent a divine messenger to identify and to warn these individuals in regard to what it was that Herod wanted to do, and therefore went out and they went back to their homeland another way. They went back the Lord's way. And today as I stand before you, I tell you that the Lord has a way, does He not, in which we are to worship Him. The religious world is all confused about that. The denominational world has their ways, their creed books. They have their mindset as to what would constitute a worship that would bring them to a feel-good point in their life and in their assembly. And my friends, God's way is a way that we must always concern ourselves with. And we ought to wrap our hearts around to where that we are excited and we rejoice over being able to do it God's way versus my way or your way or somebody else's way. We must obey the highest authority. That authority is Jehovah God. Finally, I want us to think about some questions as it pertains to our worship to God. Do you earnestly long for our times of assembly? I want you to know I do. Whenever we finish today, I'm going to start making preparation, as I already have from last week. I've got carryover from class last week. And some of you aren't surprised about that because we don't get very far sometimes. But in regard to preparation, I've already started making preparation. And from the time in which the amen is said tonight, my mind's going to start wrapping around. We're going to come back together on Wednesday night, and I'm excited to be able to teach that class as well as to gather together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what happens after Wednesday? From a preacher standpoint, Sunday's coming. So you got to be ready for Sunday. But it's more than being ready for Sunday. It's being excited about Sunday, about being with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And do you earnestly long for our times of worship? Remember what David says? He says, I was joyful, I was excited about going to the Lord's house. And I understand the context there. But isn't that in part what we do today? We come to the Lord's house as the Lord's people to focus upon the Lord as we come together. And shouldn't we be filled with exceedingly great joy with the opportunities that God gives us as we see the day approaching? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And as we come together, are you fully focused upon praising our God and our Creator? Admittedly, as I look back over my life, whenever I was just a young Christian, as some people say, still wet behind the ears, whenever I was just a young member of the Lord's church, I allowed my mind to wander. I allowed myself to think about, I can't wait to go out to my grandma and grandpa's who live just out from the church building, and where we're going to get together and have a meal. Nothing wrong about being hungry and wanting a meal, but whenever we come together in the Lord's house with the Lord's people to focus upon our God, we've got to exclude, we've got to put all those other things out of our mind so that we can think about the one that we are here to bow before, that we might properly praise Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just with our acts or avenues of worship, that we might properly praise Him from the inside outward. Are you fully focused upon praising our God and our Creator? But then thirdly, is it evident that God is your everything? Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Do you really and truly seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is God number one in your life? And I'm going to give some suggestion here today, and to say is that if indeed you are a person that says, yes, God is number one in my life, is that God is my everything, look at your life. As you go out and engage in life, does your life reflect that God is your everything? Whenever it comes to worshiping God, upon the first day of the week, is God your everything? Are your actions, because actions speak louder than words, amen? Do your actions convey? Do they really and truly demonstrate that God is your everything? Or do we make excuses? If I were to ask you in your presence today, how many is going to be here tonight? Would you be able to raise your hand? I'm not talking about sickness keeping us away. I'm not talking about things that might hinder us, that might come up, car breaks down on the way or something like that. But I'm talking about choices that we make. Have you made a choice in your mind? I'm going to not only be here this morning, I'm going to be here on Sunday night, I'm going to be here on Wednesday nights. Have you made that commitment in your mind, in your life? We make excuses, do we not, too many times. Somebody shows up, family, friends, an hour before worship services, and we say, I'm not going to get to go to worship tonight. Or they show up 5 minutes before, and somebody says, we were going to go to worship, but tonight, you know, surely to goodness, God's going to be okay with that. Bring them along with you. If they don't want to come along with you, say, we're going to worship services. We'd like you to go. If they don't come along with you, at least they know that God is number one in your life. Amen? Don't let anyone or anything be your excuse, because those excuses are not valid before God. Unless it's sickness or illness, unless it's something that certainly is beyond out of our control. But the things that are in our control is the decisions that we make. Is it evident that God is your everything? Or are you a person of excuses? And then finally, have you engaged in worship today? You say, well, I hope so. We've gone through the acts, or we're going through the acts. And it's more than just going through the acts, amen? It's more than going through the motions. It's going through those acts or avenues with our heart fully fixed and focused in the directions that God tells us to focus on. That really and truly constitutes New Testament worship. Today's lesson is not about to beat or to badger anyone, but rather to challenge us that we might consider ourselves and we might think about our times of worship and the decisions that we make with reference to worship so that we can do better, so that we can glorify God without any interruptions in our lives. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you to become one today, that you might confess Christ to be the Son of God and you might submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you are a Christian, you've allowed the cares of the world to take you away, and you know you need to return, we would love to be able to pray with you and for you, knowing full well that God stands willing and ready to forgive all unrighteousness. I can assure you that not only will God forgive you, but we will embrace you as a brother or sister in Christ. We will encourage you from this moment forward. If you're here today and subject to His call, please come.